Here we are.
Got it.
Another episode, eh? Here, if it be your will, season three, here we are. Today, I have Steve from Longwave coming in from Chicago. He's out on tour right now with Blue October, which is really cool. We'll talk about that in a minute. So, Steve, thanks so much for hopping on here and sharing your musical story a little bit.
Yeah, thanks for talking to me.
Yeah, well, I've been a fan for a long time. I've been following your journey throughout. I was like kind of starting off like your origin story. Where did music start for you?
Yeah, I'm from Rochester, New York, and it's Western New York. It's not like New York City at all. And I was in bands up there for a while, and then I moved to New York, and we started Longwave. I was playing guitar in a bunch of other bands at the time, but Longwave slowly edged everybody else out. And
where did it start though? Like, when did you decide, like, yeah, I want to do this, as you know, I want to play music, like, when did you pick your first guitar up, right, your first song?
Oh wow.
Like,
yeah,
where are those starting little kernels?
Yeah, I started playing when I was 10. I started playing guitar, and I guess I was in like my first kind of bands by like 12 or 13, and then the first real band I was in was about 16, and everybody was older than me. And we went to New York and did some showcase type things for different labels. We had a pretty good manager who had an amazing studio, again, still in Rochester, New York. And I would go and intern at the studio just to learn. Like, I would learn at that time, it was like calibrating the tape machine. And so I learned a lot in those years. And a lot of it was also just learning how to deal with people. I'm an only child, and so I really do feel like a lot of the way I, you know, ever learned to interact with people was just by being in bands.
Right.
Because, you know, you're on a team. You have to work this out. There's going to be an argument, and we got to figure out what we're going to do. So anyway, that was around, 16 or so. And I was in that band until I graduated high school around 18, and about 18, 19, that band was touring a lot. And then we split up, and then that was a crossroads. Like, I'm not going to go. I had deferred college, and I didn't know if I was going to go back or what I was going to do. And, I don't know. I had a girlfriend at the time that was moving to New York. I thought that Boston and New York were the closest kind of biggish cities to maybe move to and continue playing music. I guess by that time I had in my head I wanted to play music. I didn't know if it was possible, but I decided that Boston was like a cop-out. That sounds kind of terrible to say, but I was like, you know, I'm just going to go for New York. Like, New York seemed like this, you know, insurmountable challenge.
For sure.
But I had a girlfriend that was moving there, and so I went. And yeah, it was I got a job right away, and I not play music, but then slowly met people to play music with, and then again we started Longwave. And I was playing in a band called Scout that I loved for a while. That was probably the other band that was I loved at that time, but then slowly Longwave just became more of a priority. And we became friends with the band the Strokes. And that was kind of a turning point where nobody knew who the Strokes were, but we knew their manager, Ryan, is who I met first before he was managing the Strokes. So when that band kind of started to really happen, they were friends, and they were very generous to us and some other bands that we all knew. And they took us on tour, and that really kind of launched things for us, because then from that more people were hearing the band, seeing the band. We got a record deal with RCA through that time, which was also the Strokes label. We have still, I would say, our lawyer is the same as the Strokes. Our manager, Jim, the guy you spoke to about this, he was their prep person.
Okay.
So it would, you know, developed a lot of long-term relationships through that time. And that was very fortunate. They had the best, you know, and thankfully those people were also interested in working with us. And so that was kind of from there, everything flowered.
And when you guys were first starting up, like, what kind of music did you guys want to make? Like, I assume you brought in the songs
For long
originally
range,
with, or
yes, it started with my songs that I brought up from Rochester. I had written before I had left to move to New York. So that's how it started. And then, but I think a big change was when our guitar player Shannon joined the band. He had never played guitar before. He had played bass in some bands, but he was also left-handed, his left-handed, and he was playing a right-handed guitar. He has a kind of funny way of playing the guitar. But I've been playing for a long time and I can't play like him. I mean, he's just got his way of doing it, and it's beautiful. And he had these pedals that he plugged into, and it was like, whoa, let's use that, you know? And so that was kind of a turning point. And so at that point, we started writing songs together as well. So there would still be songs of mine. A lot of the time, but also there'd be songs now that we would write together that, you know, start with a crazy guitar sound or something. But again, we were like 22, you know, somewhere in that area, you know, so we're just kids just messing around.
That's pretty cool, though. I mean, the world just kind of opening up as well, to your sound as well, right? I mean, that must have been pretty interesting.
It was great. I mean, the Strokes tours that we did were amazing because we learned so much. I mean, I think they were learning the whole time too. That was brand new for everybody. And again, some of the people we met at that time, I'm still friends with, and
That's
that's
amazing.
really lucky. You don't know how it's going to go down. You know, you just do your
No,
comments and
that's it.
try not to, piss anybody off, and then turn around. And all of a sudden, it's years later.
And Steve, what's your songwriting process about? Like, how do you get a kernel of an idea that you feel that then you could bring it to the band to kind of explore a little bit more? Like, what's your process like for writing songs?
Yeah, I mean, I think for a lot of people, it's me, the same for me, where it could happen all kinds of ways. You know, it's been a long time since I really sat down just with an acoustic guitar and just wrote something from start to finish that way, but that's what I used to do. Nowadays, it would be usually a guitar sound, an interesting drum part, something to bounce off of. I think at this point now for me is it's a lot more fun to collaborate with somebody, I suppose. I don't just meaning like. Again, someone plays a drum part, like, what's that? You know, and I could start suddenly your antenna goes up and you're like, well, you know, I can hear a little melody with that guitar part or whatever it is. And then it goes from there. For me, a lot of times it would be the melody first, but sometimes if you got an idea for a lyric that you could write a whole song around that, you know, it's just whatever jogs your gray matter upstairs, you know,
Absolutely.
it's like something starts kind of twinkling, and you're like, I gotta follow that, you know. But yeah, it
You
used to
get
be
a
just
thread
me.
and
Yeah, it used to be just me by myself all the time, and that's not really the case anymore, I suppose.
So it's much more collaborative nowadays when you're going
Yeah,
through
I
it.
like being in bands. I like, maybe it's back to being an only child, but I like the chaos and the like messiness of having to work it out. You know what I mean? I don't really like what you're playing. Well, fuck you, I'm playing it. You know what I mean? Whatever it is. You know what I mean? Like, well, we'll find some other way then, you know? Like, it ends up having everybody's little fingerprints on it, and that is interesting to me. I think part of it for me now too is for a long time I've done TV commercial music. Like, that was what I did between Longwave and now being in Blue October. And for that music, it's all 100% me, like doing it by myself. And so it's not as exciting or fun for me at this moment in time to do something completely by myself. It's more exciting to work on it with friends, you know.
Cool. And once you guys got picked up, I mean, producer wise, right? You had two, I mean, pretty amazing producers that came in to help you with a couple of the records, Dave Friedman, and also you had John Leckie, which, I mean, these guys are no slacks when it comes to producing. What did they bring to your sound that that was different without having them? Like, what was
They
it that tangibility that they brought in to create the sound that you guys,
Yeah, well,
went
those
on world
two.
tours with,
Right. Those two guys, Dave and John, that you mentioned, are very different from each other. I would also add Peter Kadis to that list that of great producer people that we were lucky enough to work with. Dave, as you probably know, has done all the Flaming Lips stuff, MGMT, a bunch of stuff. He is a musician. He can speak in terms of, like, maybe we should reharmonize this melody right here. This chord is getting repetitive. We'll change this one chord. He's really good about that. He's good about, like, I can't remember, he would always, a lot of times we'd bring in demos and the songs would be too slow. And he would be the first one to recognize and say, this might be better a little quicker. And stuff like that. I love Dave. John was different. John is not a musician, John Leckie. John could definitely speak in terms of arrangements. I also remember telling John at one point that we would speed everything up with Dave, and John is kind of like an old 70s English, not a hippie, but like, and he was like, I remember he shook his head and was like, no, this song needs to be groovy. You know what I mean? So it's just different things. There was a song
Approaches.
with John. Yeah, there was a song with John called Underneath You Know the Names on that record that you mentioned, There's a Fire. And we had that fast. It was like an up-tempo song. But we didn't like it. And it was going nowhere. And I was like, I don't know why he wants to work on this. He was like, let's play that one. So we played it. And I remember we were out in the room, like in the like a live room or something. We're not in the room where he was. And he was over the headphones. We're gonna try it a little slower. I was like, okay. And we play it again. It's like, oh God, this is horrible. We come over the headphones. We're gonna go a little slower. Jesus Christ. You're like, what's the worst thing you could do for a song that you are not, is not working? It's like, play it even slower,
Get into the
So
minutiae of it for sure.
yeah, you're just like, this is not working at all. This is horrible. And so we played it, and then, a couple times it kept going slower. He kept slowing the click down. We're playing to a click. And finally he's like, okay, come in. And so we put the guitars down, go in, like, man, this sucks. And we go in and he starts playing, he hits play. And Shannon had played this guitar riff and he had put this huge washy reverb on it, like the Stone Roses record, which is a record he did. And it sounded incredible. And I remember just being flabbergasted, like, oh my God, like, what does he know? You know, he knows something that I don't. And I remember looking over at him and he was like sitting there like like nodding, like super slow, like, John Leckie one, long limbs zero.
I know what's going on. Yeah,
Yeah, but he
that's a
was,
really cool story.
yeah, they're both like operating on another level that I don't understand sometimes, but they were very different from each other. And then Peter was a little more like Dave, where Peter can get really technical, and that was helpful sometimes too. But yeah, John was not technical at all. He just had a really good sense of feeling. So yeah,
Amazing.
we learned a lot from working
Amazing.
with all those guys.
And do you find that your albums changed? I mean, I don't want to say change, but evolved in a way through your producers, like each of the records. Like, I mean, because your catalog spans tw 20 years
Yeah, not
ish.
that many records, but yeah, it's right. You're right. That is a long time.
And like, when you listen back to your catalog, like, what are your biggest changes that you notice in your writing, the band's
The
performance?
drummers. Sorry. The
It always
last
comes back
two
to the
yeah,
drummer.
well, we did switch drummers. The last two chronologically records that the band did, one was called Secrets Are Sinister, one's called If We Ever Live Forever, are by far my favorites of the band. And that would be us kind of producing it ourselves, I suppose. Peter did a lot on Secrets Are Sinister, but when we brought it to him, it was pretty much done. So those two records are my favorite. And I think we just got better at doing the records. I got better singing. I had never really sung in the first couple of records. I had never done it before. Got better about not just adding gratuitous guitar overdubs. I don't know, better about having the, like, we had learned about I think the last two records we did, I was probably the guy that said maybe a little faster or maybe it's too fast. Like, we had learned from
Yeah.
these Dave Fridman and John Leckie.
Yeah.
So
That's
I think we
pretty
just
cool.
got better at it. So I don't know. I mean, we just did the long we've just did an anniversary show for The Strangest Things, which was the second record we did like back in 20 years ago.
Right.
And for a lot of people, that's if they know the band, that's their favorite record. And I
Right.
can see that. It's not necessarily mine, but I love a lot of stuff on that record. I hear things that I think could be better. So
Right.
I guess that's my
The
arc of the band.
evolution.
I think the band got better and better. I don't know. Yeah, I think, like, overall, I think the band got better as of, last one we did.
Yeah. Well, I was doing a little comparison, and maybe it wasn't a good comparison, but I was listening to some of the tracks on the live album that you put out in
Oh, yeah.
2020. And then I was listening to the original, and man, you guys sound amazing live. Like,
Oh, thanks.
you start to feel the song reverberate
Yeah.
inside you. It just, like, I think that live performing that you guys did for all those years solidified this sound that is just,
Yeah,
over the top.
thanks.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Like I say, I was surprised when we just did this show that the band, we didn't get to rehearse that much. We rehearsed probably 2 days, and it came together really fast. And I thought, wow, the band is really good. Turns
Yeah.
out.
Yeah.
So
Yeah.
yeah, it's just,
How
yeah,
was
we.
that show, Steve? Like what how did it feel like being
It was
back on
great. It
stage
was,
for so
yeah, it was
long?
sold out. It was amazing.
Yeah.
It exceeded all of our expectations. I've got a follow up on it, but we've talked about trying to do it again in Los Angeles just to do another one, but I don't know if we'll get to. But I love it. I loved it. The band doesn't live all in the same city anymore. So it was really a lot of work to coordinate it. Like, one of us lives in Asia, one lives
Wow.
in Northern California, one's in upstate New York, and I live in Brooklyn still.
Right.
So it was even just getting us all in the same room, like, involved passports and plane tickets.
Absolutely.
So that wasn't so easy, but it was worth it in the end. It was a really good feeling. And there's a picture our friend Bill took of us that we post on the Longwave Instagram. And it's us with the crowd back, and it was like you can
Yeah.
just see how much
Oh, you
happiness
guys
we
look
were
so
feeling
happy.
about it.
I love that photo. You just guys
Yeah,
look,
thanks.
you're
You
just
too.
beaming. It was so cool.
Yeah, that's how it felt.
Yeah. So,
Which is
like,
cool. It's cool to go in and out now and not
yeah.
like, because there was a period where Longway was, our living or whatever, and there's a lot of things that are hard about that. So Longwave
For
now
sure.
is more like something we kind of come in and out of, and now it's only positive.
That's cool. I mean, you alluded it to at the beginning when we started talking about just the managing and the friendships of bands. And I've been reading, like, it fluctuated for Longwave quite a bit, right? With the people that were a part of the band. How do you deal with that kind of struggle of, you have these great songs, you love playing, but the personalities within, kind of underneath, a little bit more rocky. Like, how do you manage that as the lead of the band?
I don't know. I mean, I think sometimes there's nothing you can do. There's a great documentary on the Clash, called, I think it's West Way of the World, the Don Letts one. And Joe
Right.
Strummer, at the end, they ask him about the breakup of the Clash, and he gets kind of teary-eyed, and he said, I'm paraphrasing, but something to the effect of, if I had known what we had as a unit when I was 25, if I had known then how rare it was, I would have tried a lot harder to keep it together.
Right.
And I can see that, I relate to that, and that's how I feel sometimes with Longwave. But again, on the other hand, I do feel like I tried a lot at different points to make it all work, and it all worked. Everything works out the way it's supposed to. I'm
Absolutely.
still friends with everybody that
That's
has been
cool.
in the band. Not our first drummer, Jeremy, actually, but we tried to find him at one point. But everybody else, I'm still friends with. I see them whenever we're in the same geographical location, and I love them all. It's the Shannon, the guitar player, and I. We frequently will text and be like, "Remember this?" Like, no, what? So it's
When did
cool to have.
that happen?
Yeah, it's cool to
No, that's
have
cool.
friends like that in your life that,
Yeah.
in some cases know things about me probably that my wife doesn't know, you know,
Right,
just stuff that like weird little things that we experience together.
Absolutely.
It's valuable. And I know
yeah,
now,
for sure.
And I know now how valuable it is. So it's cool to have to live in that space with the band. You know, I'm not about the band and anything at all. I feel fortunate that like feel fortunate that it happened, first of all, but also fortunate that I've never felt like I wish the band was bigger or whatever
right.
it was. No, it's like I don't hold on to that kind of stuff. So I feel lucky that we're all still friends and you know, it is what it is now.
Well, and you've left vestiges of your existence and I mean amazing
like a rash.
Amazing vestiges of, you know. But I wanted to ask you, like where's Long Wave at now? Like does 2024 hold any Long Wave that you can share, obviously?
So I'm playing in a band called Blue October now.
Mm-hmm,
again, I love being in bands. I love being in a working band, and Blue October is a working band, and I love that. I love being a part of that.
Mm-hmm.
That means that I'm busy a lot with that now.
Right.
And I do have a family, so when I'm home, there's, you know, I'm always trying to balance that now, too.
For sure.
So with Long Wave, it all kind of has to make sense for me and also for the other guys too. And again, like I say, we don't live in the same city
right.
or in one case, even the same country. So it's, it's hard to do. The fact that we did the show last month or in January, then it went so well is encouraging that we might do more. I mean, I definitely thought when we booked that, I didn't know how it was going to go. And I thought, well, maybe this will be it, you know, but then it went really well. So I can never really count it out, but I don't know as far as making a new record or anything. I don't think that's going to happen for at least right now,
right?
Cool. Only because of the geographic thing,
for sure.
But
and what's
like I said, we're trying to do another, maybe do another one of those anniversary shows. We'll probably, I could see that happening before a new record for sure.
Cool. Well, and you just reissue came out of
The Strangest Things.
The Strangest Things, exactly. It looks like. I like it. I like the red.
Oh, thanks.
It looks a really nice record.
It's funny about that. When we pulled it out for the first time, I got the box. I pulled it out. I had forgotten because we inverted the colors is what it is. Like the original one was blue with the maroon thing. And we just inverted it thinking it'd be a cool thing for the reissue. And I pulled it out and I was like, oh my God, it's red. And I was like, oh, right. That was our decision. I just forgot. It took a while to get the vinyl.
For sure. So what's it like? What's your life like now with Blue October? Like what's, you're on tour a lot. Like what's your role in the band as well? What do you do?
I play guitar in Blue October, but I sing a little too. And I've helped write on the past, God, I don't even know. This is the seventh or eighth record now that I've done with Blue October. It's all been remote because I've got young
children. Sure.
This is the first year that I've been touring with the band, and I love it. The band is doing great. Everyone in the band are all dads, like me, and so that's a big deal. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Do you have kids? Are you a dad?
Yeah.
How many? What are your kids?
I have three kids.
Oh, amazing.
Yeah, 15, 18, and 22.
Oh, wow. You're in a different... I mean, mine are still 8 and 10.
Yeah, I remember those days. Fun days. Very active days.
My youngest, our 8-year-old, is coming on tour with me this coming week. It's his 9th birthday, and I'm flying off the tour to go home to get him. We fly back out to the tour. He's coming out for 3 shows, and then my wife and other son will pick him up and take him home.
That's amazing. But so has he ever seen you play live?
Oh, yeah. They were at the Long Wave show in January.
Okay.
Both of them were running around the Bowery Ballroom, like, no respect at all. Just running around like crazy, like, during the show. Like,
those crazy kids, eh?
Having the time of their life. And, this time is the first show that they're going to be on, like, our younger son. He'll be on the tour bus. Like, he'll be sleeping in the bunk. Like, it's like he's going to be a pirate for 3 days. I had to tell his teacher, like, you know, he said he's going on tour. I said, yes, that's right. Like, he won't be at school for those 3 days.
That's amazing.
It's an
experience, eh? Well, he'll never forget that.
but about Blue October, that's what's so good about it is that everyone's really positive. Everybody in the band here has been through it. You know, like everyone's had their own personal demons to deal with and also just lots of life. The band itself has had ups and downs, and right. at this point now, everybody's just, for the most part, just really positive. And I mean, I think they're thrilled to have me because we've known each other forever, right. and I'm thrilled to be in the band. You know, it's
yeah, it's cool.
It's it's a really cool thing, and fusion. Just having yeah, and just trying to figure out ways to integrate that with now with my family as well.
Right. It's something else. It's
really cool.
Yeah. Yeah, right on. Well, Steve, I want to thank you. I've heard that before. Like, yeah. I'm really happy that you found this avenue to keep doing what you love.
Thanks. Yeah, and they love Longwave too. That's part of it. It's like cool. They're super supportive. A couple of them came out for the Longwave show in January here. Right. Like the opening band from the tour here also opened the Longwave show. Like, right. It's a pretty, you know... It all fluid. Feeds into each other.
That's really cool. Well, I mean, I do wish you all the best with Blue October. Thanks, and yeah. I mean, please keep Longwave at the back of your mind if ever.
We'll try. We all love it. And again, yeah. I'm lucky because the Blue Octobers also love it. So everyone is supportive and wants it to keep happening when we can.
Amazing. Amazing. Well, keep it up. All the best on this tour with Blue October, and all the best with your family. And
thank you. Yours
you
too.
You know, growing, seeing them grow and seeing yourself grow. It's
my God, I can't
special.
Believe you're late teens and early. They're like adults. You're kids.
Yeah. I have only one left at home. Wow. The other two are in apartments and living in the city. And
oh my God.
Yeah. It's weird. I have a little of the empty nest syndrome, but I still do have my youngest, but one mm-hmm. more year and he flies coop too.
Are you like, you're not leaving?
Yeah, that's right. I'm like clinging to him. He's like, Dad, back off.
Well, I already think, I told you I'm bringing our younger son out. I don't think our older son, I don't think we could sleep in the same bunk on the bus, which is what we're going to do. He's a little bigger now. So it's like, wow, this is really happening. Like, they're getting bigger.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, cherish it. I always tell people that it goes so fast, and hold on to every second that you can with those littles, because they definitely get bigger and we get older. So.
Yes.
Well, thanks so much for this. It's been a real pleasure. And
thank you, Chris. Likewise.
Like I said, be well and keep on rocking.
You too. You too. Thank you. If you need anything else, let me know.
Cool.
Starts with a burst. A little word. The sound so loud and high, it can't be heard, and that's all you can be sure of, so don't say a word. Caught up underneath, just before the flood, a fight you hadn't lost, pinned 100 to 1, but that's all you ever wanted, so we'll be good. The strangest things are happening to me. I've been away all the time, but in the end to see, it'll carry away, carry away. It's not in the marrow, but it's in the bone. You grind it down to nothing until it leaves a hole, but that's all you can be sure of, so don't let go. In your head, you stare for weeks, falling out of bed, talking in your sleep, but I can't feel a thing. I don't understand you when you speak. The strangest things are happening to me. I've been away all the time, but in the end, that'll carry away.